US President Donald Trump says a trade dispute with China over rare earths has been, quote, settled. He met with his Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping yesterday, rating the meeting a 12 out of 10, but revealing few details of agreements. Last week, Australia and the US signed a multi-billion dollar critical minerals deal designed to combat China's global dominance in the market. Madeleine King is the Federal Minister for Resources. She's currently in Toronto meeting with ministers from G7 member countries on critical minerals. Minister, welcome back to Radio National Breakfast.
Good afternoon from Toronto. Sally, I know it's morning there, but afternoon here.
Welcome back. What do these talks between China and the US mean for Australia's critical minerals deal with the United States?
Well, firstly, it is good news. It is good news that the two leaders of the world's two leading economies have met and have had a productive meeting and have reached some concessions around the export bans on rare earths and critical minerals. And I think at any moment, it's good for Australia that there is more open and free trade, and we welcome that, of course we do. But what we know is the imposition of these export restrictions were arbitrary in nature, and equally the lifting of them is also arbitrary based on a single meeting. So it still behoves us to make sure we do develop a separate supply chain, and I know we've been working on this for some time, knowing that that is the vulnerability in the system when you have all of these products coming from one country. And that is why I'm in here in Canada at the moment talking with ministers from G7 countries about making sure there is a more resilient global supply chain of critical minerals and rare earths.
Tell me about the discussions you've been having with those G7 countries. Are there new markets for Australia in the export and or processing of critical minerals?
There certainly are. And I mean, some of these markets, obviously, we work with already, Japan in particular, and of course, the US through a recent announcement of the US-Australia Critical Minerals Framework. Increasingly, there's opportunities for Canada and Australia to work together, both great resources nations with opportunities in mining, but also refining of critical minerals and rare earths. So we are working with it. We're not part of the G7, but we've been invited to be part of this forum. And I think that reflects recognition by the G7 and the importance of Australia's resources sector into the global supply chain of critical minerals and rare earths. So it's a good opportunity for us to participate in this meeting.
As you're saying, Australia signed an MOU with the European Union in 2024 to cooperate on critical minerals. Is there a further more detailed deal to be done, similar to the one with the US?
There's no doubt we will be in discussions with the European Union as a whole, particularly with their individual members that are part of the G7, France, Germany and Italy. And I've had discussions on the sidelines of this G7 meeting today. There's a lot of interest that the German government has a raw materials fund, as does the French government, and they want to invest in projects in Australia, and we welcome that investment. It just adds to the strength of our sector and the strength of those global supply chains. So I do expect there'll be more arrangements, investments, and therefore outcomes for the Australian people and more Australian jobs in regions right around the country.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast. My guest is the Minister for Resources, Madeleine King, who's been meeting with G7 nations in Canada. Moving to the EPBC back home, the government introduced the environmental approval reforms to the Parliament yesterday. The bill will allow the Environment Minister to override environmental guidelines on the grounds of national interest. Under the draft laws, would a critical minerals project be considered in the national interest?
Well, there's no doubt under the reforms it could be, but, you know, that would have to be a matter for the time and the situation and the project itself. I wouldn't want to anticipate any decision of that nature. I mean, it rests in the words itself and the legislation that would have to be of, as you've described, in the national interest. So, I mean, any a defence-based project could be one of those. But, you know, I would be just speculating and it'd be a very rare moment in the use of that power of the minister in any event.
So critical minerals projects could be blocked under this legislation. There's not an automatic approval.
No, of course not. And every project is taken on its merits for the whole approval system, but certainly in the use of that particular power, you know, even more so. It would be a very particular and rare moment where those powers would be used, but they would be because of national security and national interest matters.
Does the government need to be more explicit and specify with legislation or regulation on what is not a reason for overriding the laws?
Well, I think that would be too prescriptive on any minister on any a given day when ministers that make these decisions or have these decisions put before them. It would be at a moment and in a circumstance of intense national interest. So to prescribe what that may or may not be just would only seek to curtail the operation of executive government. And the idea is to retain, flexibility in really very rare circumstances where there is a matter of intense national interest to be decided. In the normal course of events, as is the case right now, these applications will go through a deservedly appropriate environmental assessment process. And that would be the case for, almost all applications under the EPBC Act.
On a separate issue of transparency, the Coalition, the Greens and Independent Senators are urging the government to release a report on government appointments to public boards. The government has sat on that report for 2 years. Isn't that long enough for Cabinet to consider the findings?
Atali, I'm going to, repeat the words of the acting Prime Minister, that the report is before Cabinet at the moment. The government is working through it and it will be released as a Cabinet has responded to it. We are committed to a high standard of integrity, of transparency and accountability, and will be released when it will be released.
The government said it would be publicly released. Why is it taking so long?
Well, we have to go through a proper process of looking at the report. I think putting things out without that kind of consideration is not productive as well to the importance of the topic.
So it hasn't been considered as yet?
No, it is being considered and we have to go through these reports. And I know this was raised this week in the Parliament. I am afraid I'm not there to hear the nuance of the debate that has happened. My understanding is in the Senate. I'll catch up on that as soon as I get home. But in the meantime, obviously we're all very well aware of the report and it's going through our Cabinet processes.
Madeleine King, Minister for Resources, thank you for your time from Canada this morning.